Derek Lampshire from the base with River Valley Health joins me. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jay.
We've had you on lots talking about different things. You guys have teamed up with Basketball Alberta, Paul Sir. I know they sent out a release. Tell me, what is the base by RVH going to offer them to help their program get better?
Well, we've been working with Paul Sir on and off for the last few years, and basically, sitting down with Paul, kind of a common finding is he's not impressed with. And I've talked about in other shows, Jay, and athletes getting into their sport, basically trying to, in this case, create a basketball player, not creating an athlete. And a lot of their training programs are kind of focused on not creating the best athlete, and then in turn, which would then create the best basketball player. So with our training philosophy, which really focuses on fundamentals, body mechanics, making sure things work properly, building a better athlete, then you can work on then the fundamentals. And then a good example with basketball, you need to be able to jump before you work on a jump shot, so on and so forth. So we've now the base is an expansion of the current company or the first original company, RVH, River Valley Health, which was an injury-based model, fixing athletes and getting to perform better. And then the base is now a 16,000-square-foot facility that opened on the West End this week and focusing on performance.
Well, I went in there yesterday and got the luxury. Danny put me through the initial, just kind of a basic movement test. So he did all these moves, and I have no idea how I did, but I...
You failed, my friend.
Yeah. Probably.
Well, they're up a little bit. That bad.
Well, I was quite excited that when he said close your eyes and run on the spot that I didn't fall over. So I thought that was a good start.
That's good. Yeah, some people fall.
So I did have the basic balance, but you know, just in those basic movement patterns for a lot of people is the one thing that most and I don't know if it's generalization, guys or girls, but how many people don't engage their glutes properly?
To be honest, I would probably say none at the beginning. You know what I mean? Like that we'll say 5% just because there's never a 0 or 100%. You know what I mean? If you have tight hip flexors, you don't fire your glutes properly. And I'm not saying that you haven't fired them at some point. And you might also, and that becomes a little bit of a tricky question because you can fire your glutes, but the sequencing can be wrong. So your hamstrings could take over first, which is a very common pattern. Mm-hmm. Some people, when you get some of these strong athletes, you can't be a sprinter or be at a you know world, national or world level without having some glute activation. But usually something else takes over, and that's where a lot of – so using a sprinter, for example, that's why so many sprinters have hamstring problems. You know what I mean? So their hamstrings work so much harder than they should. So if you can get that sequencing working properly, then – you know, using that elite sprinter, that could be the difference between 0.1 second and the difference between, you know, not making a final, making a final or winning. You know what I mean? So.
Well, yeah, definitely for those elite level athletes at the top end. But a lot of it starts then, you know, at the base foundation at younger. And we're seeing so many more parents and so many more kids training at younger levels. And if they can't, like, you know, there's so many focus, and hockey's the easiest one because there's a lot of people that play hockey. And, you know, I had a parent telling me that the other day how he's upset because his son's training program has time off. And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, well, it's a 12-week program, but they work
rest
for four.
Four-letter word.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't believe it. But I think people think, well, if I rest, you're not doing anything. And in fact, that's really the total opposite. But the basic movement patterns for young kids, because we're much more of a sit-down society now, you know, kids from a young age, they're in school now, they've all got their computers, they spend way more time sitting down. How much has that changed, you know, even the athlete who is a hockey player but then sits down for 6 hours out of the day, how much does that impact kids?
1,000,000%. Kids sit down. When we were younger, a long time ago, you played outside, kicked the can, tag, road hockey, basketball. I don't remember sitting. There's no video games like there are today. So you have school, then they come home and play video games, so on and so forth. So there's definitely more sitting in it. And even as adults, you sit a lot more. And what's really interesting is I truly think people, I think because we did run outside more than this population, that we were more athletic, if that makes any sense. You mean they're able to do some of the fundamentals better, yep, and maybe less prone, whereas it's shocking how you can have good examples. We have an elite hockey player, we're doing some work now, and moves decently well, female hockey player, but has no understanding of, like, can't feel anything in her body. You know what I mean? So just doesn't even understand And being a hockey player, like, that doesn't even make sense. And so really teaching that, and I think innately, you know, like, you know, going one step further, back in the day when there's before the Industrial Revolution, when people walked and ran and hunted for their food, people were less screwed up, I'm assuming, because they could hunt. If you couldn't hunt for your food, you died. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So people were better, whereas now we sit, we drive everywhere, so on and so forth. So just our body hasn't had, like, I didn't teach my, I have a 7-year-old girl, 5-year-old boy. I haven't taught them how to do stuff, but they know how to squat properly. You know what I mean? So, but then I think we lose all that stuff because they just get into these patterns of, not so much like body laziness, I guess would be a way of saying it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh no, it's very true. You look like young kids when they're too, like, they're running around the house all the time. Like, they never sit down. Right. So they're squatting from a natural, like my young guy, Becca, the other day stood up and squatted. Just, I was like, I can't even do that. But obviously they're flexible and they're young, so they can do different things. And they do it just naturally, not knowing. He doesn't think he's squatting. He's just standing up is basically what he's electing to do, and goes down and picks up his toys. But it was funny how you mentioned that people can move and be athletic, but they don't know how their body moves. And the reason I say that is yesterday I was doing this exercise, a clamshell on the side. And he says, Danny's like, hey, can you feel your glute fire? And I was like, no, he's like, well, it's firing. And I'm like, well, I can't even feel it. So how does a person learn that? How do you learn to know how your body's supposed to move?
You know, it's fundamentals, right? It's interesting. Like, our training philosophy, it's almost more, it's physical training, like, obviously it's a kind of a rehab type focus because it gets some activation. But, like, first of all, your body needs to be able to move properly to get certain things working. You got to be able to breathe properly, which I've talked in previous shows. And it's like brain training in, you know, coming back. And I know you've had Nick Allen, the sports psychologist, before, and the psychology standpoint, and the brain is a big part of it. Like, and a good example I've used with some people is you either learn things, or you learn material, or you memorize material. Right. And I feel like everyone's just kind of memorizing. They do certain things and they don't really understand it. So you really have to think, and it can be very frustrating in the beginning because it's frustrating to think, you know what I mean? And if you don't get it, but it becomes very, once you get it, then you got to reinforce that pattern. So it's like turning that light switch on. For the easiest way to describe it, you turn that light switch on, hey, the lights work, and eventually someone's going to feel it. You just work at it. One component we've put into our program is once we can see that you understand what we're trying to do, we challenge fitness. And we start putting people on intervals, and really, because we find fitness is a big problem with everyday people, but also some extremely good athletes. They're just comfortable in their own zone, and they need to be able to work just outside of that zone. So then we find something to challenge them in that. And then once we got, because if you think too hard at something, you'll never get it. So then once your kind of brain is there and your brain-body connection, then we tire you out, and then you sort of stop thinking. Like, you're like, hey, wait a sec, I feel it. Because you're not fighting everything else in your brain-body connection, if that makes sense.
No, it does, and it's the power of the brain to limit us or to allow us to go to new levels of endurance or anything is an amazing factor, positively or negatively at times, if we want to hold ourselves back, is Derek Lampshire from the base new facility on the West End, 180th Street and 111th Avenue, joins us. Now, I looked at your facility, and, you know, as you mentioned, 16,000 square feet. It's massive. You do group training sessions there? Do you have, like, minor teams come in for baseball, basketball, hockey? Is that kind of the goal?
Yeah, like I said, we just opened this week, but we have team training sessions, group training sessions. We have some boot camp component, and some we'll eventually in a month here have an extreme athlete component, kind of like that Spartan extreme warrior type component. And then we have one-on-one training. We have capability to run a 40-yard sprint. So, like, everyone wants to see their time and relate it to the NFL combine. So we have a 3-lane track here to do 20s, 30s, 40s, turf, indoor turf, so on and so forth. So basically something for everybody. And the common theme is everything follows the fundamentals. Like, we with our training, I think one flaw with training, we're trying to, not so much flaw, but we're trying to teach people how to move better. And it starts with fundamental movements and some coaching cues. It's like any sport, you know, going to hockey, you say hockey's very common here. You didn't just learn a breakout. You had to learn how to skate, and you learn how to, you know, the stick handle a puck. And when we started, you just stood there and stick handle a puck. Then you move, so you can't do a breakout. And I find a lot of people, for training, get into the breakout too soon, and well, you can't skate, so here we have problems, right? So we have literally everything, and everything, the common theme is everything follows the same component. We do what we call basic training, so it's a fundamental coaching training sessions so that people can understand what proper, when we say core activation, what that is, because so many people take that as flexion. It's not flexion. It's basically creating like a pillar and really strong. And without that core, really, then nothing else can work properly. So
that's the one we have to, for any activity, if you'll be a lot safer if you've engaged. And a lot of times eventually becomes you're engaging your core and you don't know, correct? That's the ultimate goal.
You know, and what's even, I've talked through the shows, and the more we do, and then it comes back to breathing. Because if you don't breathe properly, the diaphragm doesn't set properly, and then you can't get that proper core. And in anything, if you have shin splints, some kind of, if you have shin splints or something like that, my wife, who's also a chiropractor and treats a lot of running injuries, she said it really good. If you run and you can't activate that core, which in turn will work those glute muscles, so you can bring the force up to the mid area of your body and take that force when you hit the ground. If you can't do that, it has to go somewhere else, and it's going to end up in your knees or your ankles or your feet. So that plantar fasciitis, and I'm generalizing the statement, but most times mechanical injuries come from that lack of core glute activation, that pillar area. So it all comes back to that, and then it all comes back to breathing, you know, breathing patterns. So it's complicated yet very simple, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, it's simple, but most of us have forgotten how to do it, so it's kind of like we have to retrain ourselves.
And that's why the kids, if you can get on the kids, we do a lot of, we have many different programs. You go to our website, rivervalleyhealth.com, and one big program that we're really going to push quite hard, because I think it's a massive population, is that long-term athlete development. So we have a group of, I believe it's, I think it begins at 10 years old, 10 to 12 group, and a 12 and 13 group, because there's a little bit difference in those groups, and really just teaching some of the fundamentals of movement. And because if you can teach the language, it's easier to teach it than it is to fix it, if you know what I mean. So if you get into that 16-year-old athlete, and then guys like us who had none of this stuff, this didn't exist when we were younger, now you're like, you know, I saw Danny working with your squat pattern, and it wasn't that pretty from where I was looking. So it's easier to teach that kid how to squat properly than it is to fix someone like ourselves how to squat properly, because we've created some habits, right? So
you're saying my squat pattern wasn't good?
it was satisfactory. We'll say C.
Yeah, well, we'll give you a C. Yeah, when he's like, well, he goes, can you put your feet straight? I'm like, they are straight. He's like, no, they're not. I was like, wow, this is going to be a long afternoon. So
well, you know what? It's funny you said that, because we're big on the planking. That's probably our go-to core exercise.
That's the one thing he said I did excellent. I know how to plank. I don't know how to squat properly.
No,
yeah,
I'm
he said my plank
down.
Was good. Yeah.
And it's so funny, because we'll have, and sometimes we know people aren't going to start off on the wall just so they can get the positioning. And some people do it, and you're like, okay, and how does that feel? Good. And then you move them into the position, which is straight, and they look at you like you're crazy. And so a lot of times we work with iPads and stuff that will take a picture, like, oh my God, that didn't seem straight, because what is crooked feels straight, if you know.
Oh,
so
yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And same with that squat, like you said, of the squat pattern. You can have, in our fundamentals, because what ends up challenging with some, you know, some of the loaded athletes, we don't load you with your feet straight, because now we're dealing with hip mobility and so on and so forth. But the fundamentals, when you sit in a chair, and I always say, if you're trying to run fast, do you think you'd be faster with your feet pointed forward or turned out? You know what I mean? And we use the point forward because that's the fundamental movement that everybody should have, and you know what straight is. And it's shocking how, yeah, I'm straight, and their right foot's 10 degrees turned out, because they just don't feel that. And that's what you said earlier. How do you get that? And it could take 2 weeks before they feel it, but they will feel it, and you just have to be persistent, persistent, persistent. And then once you get that, then the growth curve is exponential.
It's funny you say that, because I was watching I ran into a scout. He was scouting midget AAA, and we were talking about skaters. And so, this guy's been scouting for 25 years. So I asked him, I said, what's the first thing you look for in a skater? He says, well, I watch them glide. And if they can't glide with their feet straight, I know they're not going to be a very good skater long term.
100%, yeah.
I'd never even thought of that. And then I watch, I notice it, and it's true. And it doesn't mean you can't be a good skater. You just can't be a great skater, because you do have a limitation factor. And, you know, it's something that's correctable in a lot of people, because it's their hips a little bit, you know, tight, or their muscles are tight, so it forces their body to go a certain way. And obviously they can change it. So good luck with it. Very curious to see how the base goes. Fantastic place, 4309224, if anyone's interested to want to check it out. Appreciate your time, Derek.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me.